Okay, everybody, I hope all is good. Today's daf is Sukkah daf Mem Beis, and we have the tremendous chus of finishing the third parak of Sukkah. And we'll start the second, the fourth parak, excuse me, definitely, to do the Mishnah to the end of the daf. But first, right, we're here at the bottom of Mem Aleph and Mem Beis, by the last line, by the two dots. Rabbi Yossi Omer Yomtif, right, if you remember from the Mishnah that we did yesterday, so Rabbi Yossi said that if for whatever reason, right, we were talking about taking the lulav on Shabbos, if for whatever reason the first day of Yomtif falls out on Shabbos, not like it does this year, but if it does, so then we had a whole procedure of taking it to shul, Erev Shabbos. Rabbi Yossi just pointed out at the end that if you take the lulav out on Shabbos, through Shus HaRabim, i.e. you're obviously carrying on Shabbos, that's usher. Rabbi Yossi introduces the idea of potter of Torah b'dvar mitzvah potter, that if a person is making a mistake through a dvar mitzvah, so that is you are going to be potter. If he thought he was doing a mitzvah, he's not going to be, again, he's not it's not an avera, but he's going to be potter from a korban chatas, right? He's not going to be chayev because he was concerned and focused on doing the mitzvah. So that's what Rabbi Yossi explains. So Amar Abaye says, Lo shano el shalo yotzebo, right? That's only, right, if you weren't already yotze the mitzvah of netilas lulav. But if you were already yotze, so then chayef, so then you are chayef. And meaning he explains that tov b'dvar mitzvah is only when you have not yet fulfilled the mitzvah. Only then can you claim you were bothered and worried about doing the mitzvah. If beforehand, right, if it's before the mitzvah, so then, right, you were bothered thinking about the mitzvah. If it's afterwards, rather, if it's afterwards, so then you can't claim that you were focused on doing the mitzvah. The problem says, right, hold on, the problem is that ha mida agbei navigbei, right, the phrase that we had before, right, this is where the makor is, right, we've mentioned it several times before, but this is where the Gemara says it, right, the problem is, how do you have a scenario where the guy was not yet Yotze the mitzvah. Rabbi says, if you take it outside, Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, according to Rabbi Yossi, you're a potter, only if you haven't yet been Yotze the mitzvah. Problem is, how are you not Yotze the mitzvah in the Tzilas Yilulav? When you pick it up, you are Yotze the mitzvah. Right? How could you carry it outside not having been Yotze the mitzvah? The moment you pick it up, you're Yotze the mitzvah. So the Gemara says, I'm Rabbi Kishahavcha. No, it must be, and this is what Tosfos suggests earlier to say the bracha. Right, we said they have to make a bracha over the asiyasun. So how could you do that? Right, how can you make a bracha just before picking it? Right, before being yotzi the mitzvah. Right, it's once you pick it up, you're yotzi the mitzvah. So the rabbi explains that, and this is a Tosfos suggestion, that you should turn it upside down. Right, the case is where you turn it upside down. Rashi here talks about taking the lulav upside down. More commonly, we turn the esrog upside down and then say the bracha and then hold it right side up. So when you hold the esrog and lulav right side up, so that's when you yotzi the mitzvah. But here in this case, right, you held it upside down, and therefore you weren't yotzi the mitzvah yet. And then when you walked with it out into Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, you were so focused on doing the mitzvah, right? So you're going to be potter. That's tov b'dvar mitzvah. That's what Rabbi Yossi says. Now, Tosfos has an interesting point. Tosfos says, from the fact that the Gemara had to suggest that you carried it upside down instead of just saying that you didn't intend to do the mitzvah, right? Maybe, right? Why didn't the Gemara just answer, oh, when he picked it up in his house, he had no intention to do the mitzvah. And so when he walked outside, he still had not been yotze the mitzvah, right? That would have been an easier thing to say. So the Gemara says, right, Tosfos points out that apparently from the fact that Abaye didn't say that, apparently Abaye holds that mitzvos tzrichos kavana. Mitzvos ain't tzrichos kavana. Apparently, right, that it doesn't work to not have kavana for the mitzvah, because, right, again, otherwise Abaye would have just said, oh yeah, he didn't have kavana to be yotzei the mitzvah. From the fact that Abaye didn't say that, he must hold that if you pick it up without kavana, you're yotzei. Right, the problem is, as says Tosfos, that Abaye is the one who asks all the questions on Rava. Right, we're going to learn in a couple of months. Rava says that mitzvos ain't trichos kavana, right? That you do not need kavana to be yotzei a mitzvah. And Abaye is the one there towards the end of Rosh Hashanah who says all these questions against Rava. How could you tell me that you don't need kavana for mitzvos? Right, so if you're telling me over here that Abaye holds that you don't need kavana, because otherwise you could have just said it when you picked up the lulav, you didn't have kavana, and that would be a way to not be not yotzei the mitzvah. So why would Abaye be the one who asks all the questions on Rava when Rava posits that exact idea, that mitzvah is in tzrichos kavana, that you don't need kavana for doing mitzvah? So Tosfos suggests maybe that after that whole give and take in the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, maybe Abaye took it back. Maybe Abaye ended up agreeing with Rava because Rava was able to answer all his questions. And perhaps Abaye then held, subsequently afterwards, that mitzvah is in tzrichos kavana, that you don't need kavana to do mitzvah. But okay, that's a little bit of Tosfos over here, just to indulge. Right, the eon you know, excitement. Anyway, whatever. Weiter. So that's what Abaye says. Abaye says that the way you didn't fulfill the mitzvah yet is if you did not pick it up right side up. You held it upside down. Rava, Amar Rava says, Afilu Teima Shelo Hofko. No, it could be that you didn't take the Esrog Gelulav upside down. Really, you held it right side up. Aye, so how could you not be yotzei the mitzvah yet? How could you have a scenario where you go into Rosh Hashanah Rav Man Shabbos having not doing done the mitzvah? When you pick it up, you're yotzei the mitzvah. How could you get to that point? So Hachamai Eskina on the case is, says Rav Kigoja Otsiyo B'Kli. Right, it's a case where you took it out in a kli, in a utensil. Right, you're holding it right in a bowl or in a, I don't know, in whatever. Right, you're holding it in a utensil, and therefore you're not yotzei the mitzvah. Aye, Haravu the Amal Lekicha Aydei Davar Achash Me Lekicha. Well, didn't we learn about a week ago? Where's that Gemara? The Lyman Zion, less than a week ago, that Rava is the one who says if you take the lulav through with something else, right, then that's fine. Right, that if you're not, if you don't have skin on lulav, but you take it with something else, you know, hold it, whatever between in something interposing between you and the lulav, everything's fine. That you're still yotzei. So what's the problem with the kli? Right, so how could Rava say if you pick it up in a bowl, you're not yotzei? So Gemara says, "Hani mili de kavod." Yeah, okay, that's only if you do it in a proper kavodik way. You have some sort of handkerchief or some decorative thing that's something, some nice gloves or whatever. I don't know. It's something to that effect. But if you're taking it out in a bowl, which is a joke, right? Carrying it like it's, you know, not in a proper way. So then, lo, then we're not going to say that you're yotzei the mitzvah. And that's how Rava explains how you could get to the point of not being yotzei the mitzvah once you pick up the lulav and take it outside. Okay. Rav Huna, Rav Huna says, Omer Hayi Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi used to say, Olas ha'ov shenimtzes bein agafayim v'kasover chatas ha'ofi v'achla pater. Now, what's going on over here before we explain all the words? So, there are two types, well, there are many types, but a bird often can be brought either as a korban chatas or as a korban ola. And the chatas is consumed, is eaten. The ola, obviously, is burned entirely. Now, those, they're usually shechted in the same area, but sometimes, right, if there are too many, let's say too many olos, so then you would shecht it in the same place. They would shecht it in the same area, as Rashi says over here. You would shecht it in the same area where they shechted the bird chatos. So sometimes the birds got mixed up. And Rabbi Yossi says that if for whatever reason you have an olas of, an ola, a bird that's brought as a korban ola, right, it has to be completely consumed, it doesn't get eaten. Nimtzeis bein agafayim, it's found between wings, meaning it's between, as Rashi explains, between korban chatos, birds that are really a korban chatos that should be consumed, because korban chatos are ofi, and a person, a kohen, thinks that it's a korban chatos, and the achla, and he ate it, he's pater, right? He's not going to be chayiv for eating, right, a korban ola, even though he shouldn't have. So Gemara says, "Mike Mashmalan." Well, yeah, obviously, right? Tav d'var mitzvah pater. Right? What are you coming to teach me that if you make a mistake with a mitzvah, right, you're pater? Hanuhach. Right? It's the same halacha, right? We learned that already. You don't need to teach me that. But so the Gemara says, "Ma'aditayma, you might have thought hasam to tav d'var mitzvah, hainu d'avad mitzvah." No, there's a big difference between our case of lulav and the case over here by eating the korban ola of a bird. By our case of lulav, Pashas is, you're going to be yotzei the mitzvah once you're in Rishus HaRabim. You're doing a mitzvah. Babel Hacha, but over here, by the case of the korban ola, when you eat the bird by accident, thinking it's a korban chatas, tabu devar mitzvah, v'lo ad mitzvah, emalo. That, what are you doing? You're eating a korban ola? You're not doing any mitzvah. There's no mitzvah that you end up doing. So, you're not allowed to eat a korban ola. There's no kiyum, there's no mitzvah that you've done. So you might have thought that maybe tabu devar mitzvah does not allow you, does not pater you, does not provide an exemption from the korban chatas if you're not actually yotzei any mitzvah. So therefore, Kamash Malan, therefore he teaches us that no, Rabbi Yossi holds that if you made a mistake in a mitzvah, even if you don't end up doing a mitzvah, so then you're still pater. Meisavei, hold on 1 second, I'll ask a question on this concept of tabu devar mitzvah. Are you really potter? Rabbi Yossi, Omer, Rabbi Yossi is the one who says that a shochet is a tamid, she'inu mevukar, kilchaso, b'shabis, chayiv chatas. If you, just a preface, the korban tamid used to be kept in the lishkas tamid. I think we talked about it in Yuma, I don't remember. But basically, there was a checking that they had to do. Or it could have been psachim. Take it back. I'm not sure. Okay, I don't remember. Either way, the korban talmid had to be checked for 4 days. Basically, it stayed in some area in the Beis Hamikdash called the lishchas something. Tlaim or tamidim. I forget already. It stayed in a part of the Beis Hamikdash, and they checked it every day for 4 days, and then they would check it. Right, again, if a korban has a mum, if it has some sort of imperfection that will or some sort of treifa, obviously, if it's going to die, so then it's not a proper korban. So if you shecht, and this is Rabbi Yossi says, if a person, if the Kohen would then shecht a korban tamid, she'enu mavukar kilkasa, that was not actually checked for those 4 days, and he did it inappropriately, right? You're not supposed to shecht that korban, as Rashi explains that Rabbi Yossi holds it's puzzle, right? You need to get another korban. Well, the Gemara says in a second also. Right, so then you're chayv, right? You're chayv chatos. That's what the Gemara says, right? But that's Rabbi Yossi Shita. That if you shecht a korban tamid that was not checked properly, chayv chatos, v'tzorech tamid acher, and you got to bring another one, meaning it's completely no good. So, I don't know, hold on 1 second. I don't understand. If you didn't, why would you be chayv? If you're telling me tamid dvar mitzvah, you made a mistake, but you shechted a korban tamid that wasn't checked properly, that wasn't watched for the previous 4 days, and now you got to shecht another korban tamid. Well, what happened? You're trying to do a mitzvah. Why wouldn't we say the Torah Devar Mitzvah? Why would we say it's chayiv, right? According to Rabbi Yossi himself, he should be potter. So I'm going to say back to whoever asked this kasha, bar mine. No, except your any chanami, that Torah Devar Mitzvah is potter, except for this case. Why? Dahi dahad itmar alak, so it was said about this case, Amar Rav Shmuel bar Chaitoy, Amar Rav Nuna Saba, Amar Rav Yitzchak bar Ashian, Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav. What's the deal with this case? Now the case is you didn't make a mistake at all. The case here is where you brought the sheep from a lishka, from a chamber, from a place in the Beis Hamikdash that was not where they were being checked. So you blew it, right? It's not like you mixed up a sheep that had been checked with four days with a sheep that had only been checked for 1 day. And they were all in the same room, and you took the wrong sheep. No, you brought a sheep from a chamber, from a place that where they don't check sheep, right? From some other areas. Okay, so that's the case. So then you blew it. Then you made a you didn't make a mistake. Then you were negligent. In that case, you're going to be chayiv because it's not an issue of ta. Right? You haven't made a mistake at all. Okay, new Mishnah, last Mishnah in the perek. Mekabel az isha miyad bina umiyad vayla umichzirotzu lamayim b'shavis. Couple of things going on over here. A woman is allowed to take to get a lulav from either her son or her husband, right, and then put it back in the water on Shabbos. Rashi says, why would you put it back in the water? So if you look at Rashi over here, so that it shouldn't, I guess, what's the word when it goes bad? I forget. Okay, so the lulav shouldn't go bad, or really the hadas of the arava. But okay, either way, when it says lulav, it usually means all of them. B'shavas machzirin, right? You're allowed to put it back. Why? Why can you put it into water? So if you look at Rashi, shari mikan nuklo mayom, avalo masifin mayim. You're allowed to put it back into the water on Shabbos because again we're not saying that it's improving. Well, I guess we should probably read the next part of the Mishnah before I that was kind of like the rest of it. Okay, anyway, so Rabbi Yehuda says, just back in the Mishnah, bear with me, and then we'll explain in a second. B'Shabbos machzirin, b'yotov mosifin, u'b'moed machlifin. Now, what are you allowed to do? On Shabbos, you're allowed to put the thing back in the water because it won't, so that it doesn't go bad. On Yom Tov, you can put more water in, and on Chol HaMoed, you can even, what's it called? You can even switch the water. Now, the idea here, the issue here is, if you look at the end of Rashi, that was what gave me pause, right? Sharei Tarach B'Tikune Mana, right? The question is here, are you doing Tircha to fix something, right? Are you really trying to fix and improve the growing of the leaves of the hadas of the not the produce, the shrubbery or whatever it is. Meaning, when you put it back in water, that kind of just maintains it, make sure it doesn't go bad. If you're going to switch water or add water, that might actually improve or fix the item, and that we don't want you doing on Shabbos or Yom Tov. Now, again, when you add. Meaning the switching of the water is an extra tircha, right? We'll learn Mitzvah Shem and Beitza coming up next, that there's an isser of doing extra work on Yom Tov. Too much work, extra tircha, right? We don't want a person exerting himself too much. So switching the water seems to be too much effort, and therefore, right, you should only put the lulav and all the other stuff back in the thing. We shouldn't add water, shouldn't flip the water either. Oh, you can add water on Yom Tov, I take it back. Because again, that's not such a big deal. Apparently, again, for us to talk about switching water, right, sounds ridiculous. You go over the faucet, you add some water, you know, you go over to, you know, you switch the water out, it's not a big deal. But back then, you have to go to, let's say, to the well, right, that was a big deal. Go down the hill to the well, where was the well? Not everybody had a well in their backyard, right? It wasn't so pushy Right, it was an extra tircha, it was a lot of extra effort to kind of to flip the water. Okay, katan ha'idel l'naneh chayev lulav, a katan who knows how to do the nanuim, to do the waving, so he is already chayev lulav. That's going to be the majority of the topic in the Gemara. Before we get to that, the Gemara says, pshita, well, first of all, obviously a woman is allowed to get the lulav and esrog from her husband. Right, why what are you talking about? Like, why would you even think that you can't? So the Gemara says, you might have thought, hold the isha lav bas kiyuvahi. Since a woman is not chayiv in lulav, right? She's not, it's mitzvah to say she's man grama, right? She's not chayiv in time-bound mitzvahs. So you might have thought, emal litzkabal, maybe she shouldn't take it, because, why not? Because if you look at Rashi, right? Because it's muktzah. Is that Rashi? No, he doesn't say because, right, the first one, right? Emalo, you might have thought that the lagaba, because for her, ika ikr iser tiltul, because for her, right, there's an iser to take it. Right, again, you might have thought it's muktzah because she's not chayiv in the mitzvah. Therefore, kamash malan. Therefore, the Tana teaches us that it's not muktzah. If you look at Rashi, fascinating Rashi, kamash malan. Why is it not muktzah for the woman to take the lulav on Shabbos? Came in the royal natilas anoshim, since it's the men can take it as then do the mitzvah. Right, so Torah's kliyalav. So therefore, it's considered a utensil. Umutar batel to lakol, and it's mutar for everybody to take the lulav. Now, I would have thought that, meaning since she's not chayiv in the mitzvah, it's muktzah kamash malan. Therefore, we find out that it still is a kiyum. It still is a mitzvah for the woman to take it. Right? She's Torah's inu mitzvah viyosa. She's not commanded, but she's allowed to. Certainly, women are able to opt into to many many mitzvahs. That's a whole discussion, right? Machlokas and halacha, where they make a bracha between Ashkenazim and Sephardim, for example. Women do make a bracha if they opt into a mitzvah according to Ashkenazim. Sephardim say they don't. But Rashi over here seems to imply, again, why is the lulav not muktzah? Because men can take it, seemingly implying that it's not valuable at all for the woman to take the lulav. Otherwise, you would have said, because a woman gets a mitzvah when she shakes lulav, why shouldn't she? So that's what the Rishonim and the Achronim talk about in terms of Rashi. Tosfos is of the opinion, I don't think it's over here, that a woman, sure enough, certainly is mekayim a mitzvah when she takes the lulav and shakes it, and should also say a bracha. I don't remember where that Tosfos is, but I didn't see it here when I was preparing. I don't remember what it is exactly, but that certainly is Tosfos' shita. Okay, Vayter. A cotton who knows how to shake the lulav, so he is already chayiv, says the Mishnah. Tana Rabbanan with another brisa. Cotton ha'idei lananea chayiv belulav. Good. Lisatev betzitzis, lisatev chayiv betzitzis. If he knows how to wrap himself, then he's chayiv betzitzis. Lishmo tefillin, right? If a cotton is able to watch over his tefillin, not to pass gas, not to go into the bathroom, etc., then aviv lokech lo tefillin, his father buys him tefillin. Right? Obviously, we don't do that. That's already a big discussion as to when you should buy your son's tefillin. The Gemara seems pretty clear over here, right? That if he's already able to, and again, it's quoted, it's already quoted in the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam, but for whatever reason, it's not our minhag. But again, this is not, we're not talking about 12 years old and many months, right? We're talking about a kid who's 7, 8 years old, knows how to not take it into the bathroom. Again, maybe a little older in terms of the passing gas, but right, again, I don't think that's certainly not our minhag to give a kid tefillin when he's, I don't know, 10 years old. Yodei ledaber, the second a kid is able to speak, so aviv lomdo Torah and Kriyashma, his father has to teach him Torah and Kriyashma, Torah maihi, what is that? Amar Rabbi Hamnuna, Torah tzivolam Moshe Marasha Kilat Yaakov, that's what we're talking about, right? The first thing you should teach your kid as soon as he learns how to speak. Kriyashma maihi, what are we talking about? Kriyashma, so pasuk rishon, right? Shema Yisrael, right? Certainly that's a minhag for Am Yisrael to certainly teach the youngest those phrases as from the early age. Hayadeh lishmar gufo, if a child is able to watch over his body, so ochlin al gufo taros, meaning he's able to watch over and figure out and tell you whether he's become tame. So at that point, you're allowed to eat taros, you're allowed to eat kushim or something that can't become tame if he tells you that he's tahor. Right, and he touched some of his food. Lishma is yodav, if he's able to watch over his hands, that's already an older age, because yadayim askani are same, right? The hands go all over the place. So if that's the case, he can watch over his hands, then ochana yodav taharos, you can eat food, right, kachim or chuma, whatever, that touched his hands. Hayodeh lishol b'rishus hayachid sveiko tamei, if someone... you know how to ask someone, meaning not about halacha, but you can ask him whether he became tamei, whether he passed over, he touched a sheretz, or he passed over a grave, or whatever. So in that case, and it's a suffix whether the kid became tame and then touched all the stuff, the kachim or whatever we've been talking about. So in that case, then we have the split that we've mentioned, that suffix tilma b'shus ha'yachin is tame and suffix tilma b'shus rabin is tahor. Hayodeh lifros kapov, if a kohen knows how to duchen, chokin lo truma b'beis agranos, you can already give him truma in the base of Gronos. That's a din in the covenant of Truma. We don't want to give Truma to kids who don't know anything and are, you know, are likely to kind of just chuck the Truma everywhere. But if the kid already is duchening, so then he's of an age to that way it's already covenant to give him Truma. If a kid knows how to shacht, if Rashi says not necessarily all the halachos, but l'amin yodav, right, he's able to control his hands. He knows the procedures. He knows how to do the motions. So ochle mishchita. So you can even eat from mishchita. That's as long as an adult is watching him and sees that the shchita was done properly. Right, shchita can be done even by my but just by a well. All right, either way, by certainly by a katan. Without getting into all the hilchos shchita, but it's not required that a gadol, that an adult do the shchita. Yochel lechol kazayis dagan. If he's able to eat a kazayis of dagan, right, he's able to ready from the kid, is able to eat a kazayis of grain, so then machikin meets soaso umimeme raglov arba amos, then you have to distance yourself from his feces or his urine for amos before learning a davening, right? We assume that there is some sort of reach, some sort of terrible, the bad smell starts when he starts eating grains. Amar of chisla vushe yachala ochlo, as long as he's able to eat it in a certain time period, right? And the amount of time it takes to eat a pras, Rashi says over here, benoni, right? The average time, a little bit. And again, you know, if a kid is taking a tiny spoonful of oatmeal every, you know, 10 minutes, obviously that doesn't count. Okay, Rabbi Chia Breder of Yeva says, uve gadol afapish inu yachol avechol b'kdei achilas pras. If he's already a gadol, so then his waist is considered to be smelly enough that you have to distance yourself regardless of what he can eat or whether he did eat it in Kedei L'chilas Pras. Because the pasuk says, "Dechtiv Yosef Das Yosef Macho," right? As long as when you gain more Das, when you become older, you have more knowledge, so then the pain is greater, quote unquote. And again, that you know, the feces, there is that smell regardless of what he's actually eaten. If the child is able to eat roast meat, Potosa says that's an older age than a kid who's able to eat cooked meat. Apparently it's harder to eat roasted meat. Okay, so Shochnei Lov is a Pesach. He can be one of the people who you shech the Korban Pesach for. If you remember himsachim, you can't shech it for only Ketanim, but he can be counted in the group. Shenemar, as Pesach says, Ish Lefi Achlo, right? Everybody according to what they eat, right? Meaning that he has to be able to eat it, right? Again, so Rabbi Yehuda says, Atshiachol Levar Achila, right? That no, he has to be a little bit older. He's able to. He has to be a scenario where he can tell what is food and what is not. So Ketzad, what's the hagdara for that? So Nosnem lo tsror v'zarko egos v'notlo. That if you give him two things, if you give him a pebble, then he throws it away, and if you give him a nut, so then he pops it in his mouth. And so in that case, right, again, we're not talking about old kids, right? We're talking about 4 years old, 5 years old already, able to eat roast meat, maybe even younger. So Rabbi Yehuda says that he has to be able to figure out the difference between food and not food. Okay. Hadran Allah Lulav Agazul, and we Baruch Hashem start the fourth parak of Maseches Sukkah. Lulav Arava Shisha Vishiva. Now there are two procedures, two really mitzvos, not procedures, two ceremonies rather, that were done on Sukkot in the Beis Hamikdash and throughout, but really primarily here we're talking about the Beis Hamikdash. Well, you took the lulav, and that was everybody, and the arava, right? We pointed out a couple times already that the aravos were walked around the mizbeach every single day, and that was performed in the Beis Hamikdash. So the Mishnah starts off and says sometimes it was shisha, sometimes it was done for 6 days, and sometimes it was done for 7 days, and the Mishnah will explain the scenarios. Halal v'asimcha shmona. We say halal, and you have a mitzvah of simcha. Right? Rashi says already for the korban shlamim. So we should be zocha. Mary bana beis hamikdash. Simcha here refers to eating korban shlamim, to eat meat. So it's a mitzvah to eat all 8 days. Obviously, Sukkot in Eretz Yisrael is 7 days. This is a reference to Shmini Atzeres as well. That you have all those mitzvahs, halal and simcha for all 8 days. Sukkah v'nisach hamayim, the mitzvah of sukkah, and the mitzvah, the mitzvah to do nisach hamayim, that's the pouring of the water with the korban tavod in the morning, right, they would do that for shiva, all 7 days of the what's called of the Yontif. HaChalil, when you had the Chalil was a musical instrument that they would take to play for all of the for the what's it called. So that would be I lost my place already. I was looking at Rashi. Chamisha, right? Where is that? Yeah, Chalil Chamisha, and that will Chamisha Vishisha. Sorry, 5 and 6. Okay, we'll talk about that as well. Lulav Shiva. Now the Gemara explains finally that Lulav Shiva Ketzad. How do you have a scenario where you take the lulav all 7 days? So that's if Yontif Rishon Shalchag Yos B'Shabbos. That's if the first day of Yontif falls out of Shabbos, because the mitzvah, again, the mitzvah d'oraisa, the main mitzvah, as the Gemara will learn, we'll do it tomorrow, Mitzvah Shem, I think, that the main mitzvah to take the lulav is on the first day, it's even Dorcha Shabbos. So that's the scenario where you're going to take it for 7 days. There, lulav shiva. Mishar kol yomim, if Sukkot falls out on Tuesday like it does this year, so then shisha, then you'll take the lulav 6 days, because on Shabbos we do not take the lulav, as the Gemara will explain. We'll do that tomorrow. Arava, what about a shiva? How's the scenario that you'll do the mitzvah of arava 7 days, all 7 days of Yontif? Again, because you have Shabbos is inevitable in Sukkot. So what scenario would you do arava for 7 days? So yom hashvi'i shel arava shechal yos b'Shabbos. It's a kind of a strange phrase, the seventh day of arava, but really it's a reference to Hoshana Rabba. If Hoshana Rabba falls out on Shabbos, so then arava shiva, then you do the arava, then it's docha Shabbos. V'shari kol yomim shiva. But if Hoshana Rabba falls out on any other day, so then you're going to do the Arava ceremony 6 days, and it's not going to be Docha Shabbos, only if Hoshana Rabba falls out on Shabbos. Mitzvahs Lulav Ketzad. What does that change to? Hold on, sorry. Yeah, what's this Mitzvah of Lulav Ketzad? Meaning, how does that work? How would you do it? Meaning, so the Gemara says, Yontif Rishon Shalchag, Shalchag Yos B'Shabbos. Meaning, what's the procedure for taking the Lulavim on this first day when Shabbos falls out, when Yontif falls out on Shabbos? So Yontif Rishon Shalchag Yos B'Shabbos, if Yontif falls out on Shabbos, Malukhin is Lulavim Laharabayas. Everybody come to the Beis HaMikdash, will take the Lulavim to the Harabayas, to the Azara, the Chazan and Mekabla Mehen, and the Chazan and the attendants there who would take the Lulavim, the Sudrin Osan. Al-Gabi Itztava, and they would arrange them on the Itztava. The Itztava was like a chill place in the Beis HaMikdash, where you had like benches and an overhang and a place you could kind of chill and sit and watch. So they would put the Lulavim there. And the Zakenim, the old people, you'll see in a second, will put, for whatever reason, right, why they would do this, but the old people would put it in a separate chamber, so they didn't have to go to the main area, to the Itztava, and that they could avoid the crowds. Umalandin Osan Lomar, and they would teach everybody to say, "Mish komish magia lulavi bi liado hare hu lo b'matana." And they would teach everybody to say that, "Here, I'm putting my lulav down, but whoever picks up my lulav tomorrow, it's a gift from me to him." Because again, you have to own your lulav, as we pointed out. You have to own your lulav on the first day, and as you'll see in 1 second, not everybody got their lulav back. So the Gemara says, "Lamacha." The next day, mashkim u'boim. Everybody would get up early and they would come to the Beis Hamikdash. The chazanim zorken osan lefneim. The chazanim, right, the attendants would throw the lulavim to all the people who came. And they would grab the lulavim and hit each other, and right, and there'd be this whole melee and big fight to get the lulavim. Ukshero Bezdin Shabola Disakana. I'm not sure why they didn't realize this beforehand, but when Bezdin realized that there was going to be a problem, right, there was going to be some sort of danger, they made a takana that everybody should just take a lulav at home instead of coming to the Beis HaMikdash with the lulav and avoid the issue that way. Okay, we're going to stop here. We'll obviously analyze this Mishnah in depth, Mitzvah Shem tomorrow and on. Have a great day or night, depending on where you're listening to this.